This is part two of uranium mining in Australia with Peter Peddles of his program The Power and the Passion. Part two will go into the details of the tailings of uranium mining and the hazards associated with this. You will also hear original clips from past anti-nuclear protests, songs and media releases.
The most commonly known health effect due to the tailings radiation is lung cancer. It is triggered by the inhalation of airborne tailings isotopes, one of them gaseous, the others in fine particles. This is initially the main pathway of the radiation hazard. Later, when the radioactive contamination is spread from the tailings deposit into the water and soil of the region, ingestion of tailings materials becomes an additional pathway of contamination. At this stage, the health effects will include birth defects, stillbirths, leukemia, gastrointestinal cancers, and many other cancers. Down syndrome, premature aging, and heightened susceptibility to diseases are also prevalent. Where the mining operations are very messy, such adverse effects can already appear during mining on a smaller scale, as to what is to ensue further down the track. The mining waste, the tailings, is in composition and quantity hardly any different from the original ore. Usually, the extracted uranium makes up less than 1% of the original ore, leaving more than 99% of the ore's bulk in the tailings. Also, the radiation removed from the ore as a consequence of the extraction of the uranium is less than 20%. This leaves more than 80% of the ore's original radiation in the tailings. A relatively small quantity of processed chemicals has also been added. The only major difference between ore and tailings is the very fine consistency of the tailings, which is a result of the fine milling of the ore to allow the uranium extraction. This indeed is the main reason for the vastly increased radiation hazard. The fine milling of the ore allows the alpha radiation from the ore to become biologically effective. The main radiation hazard from the tailings comes from the powerful alpha radiation. Unlike beta and gamma radiation, it cannot penetrate the skin due to the large size of the emitted particle, the ray. It is only when the alpha radiating material itself is inhaled or ingested that it becomes dangerously hazardous, many times more hazardous than beta or gamma radiation. The second consequence of the fine milling is the susceptibility of the tailings to erosion and dispersion. Erosion and dispersion are the main mechanisms bringing the tailings into the biosphere, the very location where they should never be. To demonstrate the effect, the Olympic Dam tailings may serve as an example. This tailings deposit will be some 12 square kilometres in size and some 30 metres high, the height of a 10-storey building. To prevent tailings erosion, the tailings deposit will eventually be covered with 1.5 metres of clay and rocks. This is supposed to fulfil the regulatory requirement of a life expectancy of 1,000 years for tailings repositories. However, this cover will be breached within 100 years of the mine closure, and the active management of the tailings dam ceases. A single breach in the cover is enough to get the tailings erosion started, which in turn will lead to the collapse of the remaining cover and to full-scale tailings erosion. A rate of erosion of the tailings by water is assumed at a rate of no more than 10 millimetres per year from the tailings surface. Obviously, this depends on the precipitation rate and pattern, which is impossible to predict for the future. The pending greenhouse effect may well bring increased rainfalls. Using an erosion rate of only 1 millimetre per year the huge Olympic Dam tailings piles would be eroded within 3,000 years. The wind erosion is assumed to remove initially 0.5 millimetre and later on 0.25 millimetre to 0.1 millimetre per year from the tailing surface. Again, taking the Olympic Dam tailings at Roxby Downs as an example, the tailings would be more or less completely eroded within 120,000 to 200,000 years by wind erosion alone. Each year, some 8,000 to 40,000 cubic metres of tailings will be blown off the Olympic Dam deposit. Each cubic metre of tailings contains some 1.75 million grams of tailings particles, and each of these particles can cause illness or death to any person who inhales or swallows it. This erosion continues year after year and would only slowly decrease as the radioactivity diminishes. After 80,000 years, it would reduce to 50%, after 200,000 years to 35%. While the water erosion spreads the tailings material over the area surrounding the tailings dams and onto floodplains, the dispersion by wind will contaminate the whole of Australia. The sizes of the tailings particles range between those of fine sand and talcum powder. Such fine particles easily become airborne. Particles smaller than 100 micrometres may have a velocity of fall lower than the upward velocity of the turbulent wind. Such particles can remain airborne for long periods of time and be dispersed to great distances. They can be deposited somewhere and picked up by the wind again many times over. 80% of the radioactivity of acid leach tailings is associated with particles less than 38 micrometres in size. Consequently, the radioactive tailing particles are nearly all of a size suitable for dispersion over great distances. This may be illustrated by the well-known fact that the wind can carry the Red Sahara sand in considerable quantities over a distance of more than 2,000 kilometres to central European cities. Consider the proximity of major population centres in Australia: Sydney, 1,300 kilometres, Melbourne, 1,100 kilometres, and Adelaide, 500 kilometres. The small size of the tailing particles greatly facilitate the leaching of various tailings isotopes, in particular uranium-238, uranium-234, thorium-230, and radium-226. The leached isotopes are then taken up by plants, thereby entering the food chain. Once these particles enter the food chain, they can continue killing many times over, as each predator up the food chain consumes a previous radiation victim. Once the soil cover on the Olympic Dam deposit is eroded, sometime within the next 1,000 years, but more likely within 100 years, all Australians are bound to carry some Olympic Dam tailings particles and radioisotopes in their bodies. Uranium is fast becoming ubiquitous.
Those of us like Redgum who are involved in the mining and exportation of minerals from Australia, Redgum, for those of you who don't know, is now known as Redgum Music, Uranium Mining, Marketing and Marijuana Company. And we've discovered that Australia's just about made of uranium one way and another. And what we reckon we'll do is we'll dig it up, all of it. It won't leave us much of a country, but that's okay. And we'll sell it to nice peace-loving nations like America and Russia, Vietnam, a few of the blokes around the shop who are heavily into this kind of thing, Indonesia perhaps. And then we reckon that with all the uranium here, we should be able to earn about $1 million for every man, woman and child in Australia. Now what that means is we'll all be millionaires and we don't have to live here anymore. In fact, we can go and live in Bali and eat magic mushrooms and like, you know, think about the temple and stuff. So watch out for the check in the mail, and I'll race you down to the Qantas office, all right?
Coming back to the issue of wind erosion of the Olympic Dam, the speed of this erosion will actually be greatly increased by the combined effects of wind and water erosion together. Floods will spread the tailings over large areas, depositing them on everything inundated by the water. These very fine layers on the ground, on the grass, on the bark of the leaves of trees, on sealed and dirt roads, on crops, etc., can easily become airborne or enter the food chain. The Roxby Downs area does occasionally experience such heavy downpours, 1 in 200 year storms, and floods, several over the last 20 years. The very long time spans involved will certainly bring a variety of climatic conditions with dramatic consequences. After the mining and milling, even a backfilling of the tailings into the ore's original location cannot remedy the new situation. The finely milled particles have lost their geological stability of the original uranium ore. They are subject to erosion, subsidence, suspension in groundwater, oxidation, leaching, and even human interference. Considering all these aspects, we estimate that the tailings dam will be more or less completely eroded within 1,000 to 30,000 years. The third consequence of the fine milling is a vastly increased release of the radioactive gas radon. The gas is continually being produced in the tailings. A short explanation of the titanium decay chain will clarify this. As uranium-238 decays, it forms a daughter isotope, thorium-234, which in turn decays into another radioactive isotope, etc. There are 14 decay stages, and consequently there are 14 radioactive isotopes in the uranium ore. While 4 of these decay stages are to some extent removed with the uranium extraction, 10 of these decay stages occur in the tailings. 6 of these 10 transformations in the tailings are actually alpha decays. The most dangerous of these radioactive decay particles is the gaseous radon-222. It is continually produced as a decay product of radium-226. When radon-222 itself decays, a half-life of only 3.8 days, its own decay product, polonium-218, will usually decay within minutes, and so with the following 3 isotopes. This effectively means that somebody inhaling a decaying radon atom or its decay product will not only receive the radiation from its decay, but probably also the radiation from its 3 decay products. Radon is responsible for most of the cancer deaths attributable to the tailings. The release of radon gas into the atmosphere is greatly hindered by any material or water covering the uranium ore or the tailings. The radon release from all the uranium deposits currently being mined or proposed to be mined in Australia is minute, as long as it stays in its natural location deep in the ground. The covering sands, rocks and clays reduce the release rate many trillions of times.
Continues to say that it's been excised. It's surrounded by Kakadu National Park. It's internationally recognised. This is the jewel in the crown of Australia's heritage listings. It's World Heritage listed for 2 values, for natural values and for cultural values. These values can't be sacrificed. We have to make the noise loud and clear. Nuclear power is not the way to go. The mining company doesn't care about humanity.
The claim of the mining industry that they reduce the radioactive hazard in the mining area because they remove the uranium is absurd. In fact, they increase the radiation hazard many million times. In the past, uranium tailings have been abused on a large scale. In the US, the tailings have been used for landfill and concrete admix, even for garden beds. Thousands of houses have been contaminated. This happened at a time and in a country where all the knowledge, the scientists and the technicians with their instruments were at hand. In the distant future, the tailings hazard will be a little understood legend or completely forgotten. Tailings will again be an attractive material for the above-mentioned purposes, or for completely different ones we cannot even imagine, like the sale of cobalt-60 for its magic properties. In 1983, an ignorant Mexican scrap dealer sold cobalt-60 to 1,000 even more ignorant customers for its magic properties. The tailings will be an easily available and homogeneous source of very fine rock particles. Their use for building materials brings the radiation hazard, and in particular, the radon emanation, directly into the places where people live and work. The probability of such events may seem very low, but because of the long time spans involved, this very low probability turns into a near certainty, assuming that life as we know it will continue for that long. The finely milled tailings provide a many thousand times larger surface area than the original ore. This facilitates oxidation and substantial leaching of radioisotopes, which are then easily assimilated by plants and animals. The wetlands filtration proposals of the mining industry have vividly demonstrated this. Most of the uranium in water is being taken up by the flora of the wetlands, especially under acidic conditions. The oxidation causes severe water contamination. The uranium tailings are usually disposed of in a higher acidic form due to the process chemicals. Also, many of the tailings are derived from acid-forming ores, which further aggravate the problem. Any buffering with lime is usually insufficient or only temporarily successful. After the erosion of the tailings, the negative effects of the oxidation are even more prominent due to the increased exposure of the material to the atmosphere. The processing of the mined material cannot remove all the uranium. Usually 95 to 99% of the uranium is being extracted, leaving 1 to 5% of the uranium still in the tailings. Even without residual uranium, the tailings radiation would be a severe health hazard for some 500,000 to 1,000,000 years, depending on the ore grade. Due to the residual uranium, this tailings hazard will persist for some 20 billion years. For Ranger, the residual uranium in the tailings is not 1% to 5% of the original uranium content of the ore, but rather an excess of 10%. And for the Olympic Dam, an extreme 23%. The radioactivity of the Olympic Dam tailings is, after 1,000 years, 99% of the original tailings radioactivity, after 10,000 years, 93%, after 100,000 years, 57%, after 1,000,000 years, 28%, and after 1,000,000,000 years, 22%, after 10 billion years, still 6%. Over the next 500,000 years, some 60% of the tailings radiation is being caused by the effects of the residual uranium content in the tailings. Over 10 million years, this contribution is 95%. For Ranger tailings, the residual uranium content would directly and indirectly contribute over 500,000 years, about a third of the total radioactivity. Over 10 million years, some 8.5%. Despite the decreasing radioactivity of the tailings, their detrimental effect actually increases during the first 150,000 years as the tailings spread out and become more and more accessible to the biosphere.
Just allow it. The government's compassionate like a big bazooka. So are you gonna let them mind your beluga? No way! No way!
Can we really expect the government to protect us from the dangers of tailings dams? Already children have been playing and swimming in tailings dams at Port Pirie in South Australia for years. The government had to be forced by repeated public pressure to erect fences and to cover the tailings. There is still no ongoing health observation for those exposed. As mentioned before, in the US, tailings have been used for landfill, concrete admix, and even in garden beds. In an example from Bulgaria, the tailings radioactivity got into the food chain. A farmer grew wheat on contaminated soil near a uranium mill. Regular consumption would have lifted the dose 74 times above the legal limit. The future loss of understanding of the situation will be inevitably combined with a lack of perception for the dangers. Alpha radiating dust, either inhaled with the air or ingested via the food chain, will have no immediate effects. The most common consequence, cancer, becomes apparent only after some 20 years. Other effects, like genetic damage and slightly increased aging, are even more subtle.
Until they give that land right back. Stand on the lease of Jabaluka, till they give that land back to Miraclan. Stand on the lease of Jabaluka, till they give that land right back.
Senate Committee on Uranium Mining and Milling, with the appropriate acronym of SCUM, sets its hopes on past and future improvements in tailing management. Let's have a look. 20 years ago, the tailings had to be covered all the time with at least 2 meters of water to reduce the escape of the radioactive radon gas from the tailings dam and with the wind erosion of tailings particles. When that proved a bit of a nuisance for Ranger, it was decided that the moist tailings retain the radon adequately and therefore was not any longer required. They ignored telling us that a thick layer of water prevented radon gas from escaping about 250 times better than just having it moist. Currently, we reach a new stage in those improvements hailed by SCUM. On our way to becoming a third world country, the tailings can now be worked and messed around with. At Ranger, the tailings slurry is allowed to cascade down a 150-metre step pit wall. The consequence, tailings slurry is splashed everywhere on its way down, which generates tailings aerosol. Dehydration of the tailings, which now coat the pit wall, and large-scale escape of radon gas and tailings dust. At Olympic Dam, reclaimed tailings are proposed to be used to construct the tailings dam wall. In other words, the tailings which are to be safeguarded within the tailings dam are now proposed to be used for the construction of the dam wall as well. Now the tailings repository resembles even more closely a pile dumped next to the mine. Sprinklers are meant to do the dust control during construction. There appears to be only one reason for all this: do it cheaper and make more money. It seems the principle of best practice technology, or BPT, and as low as reasonably achievable, or ALARA, have been abandoned a long time ago. Perhaps out of the recognition that safe uranium mining is an impossibility anyway. Uranium mine tailings are soaked with a highly acidic liquor enriched with radioisotopes, considerable quantities of highly toxic process chemicals and leached heavy metals. At Olympic Dam, this liquor has been leaking in enormous quantities into the groundwater. This happened despite the scientifically tested claims about the carbonates reacting with any leaking tailings liquor to form a gypsum, which would then create a seal limiting further advance of the wetting front. The wetting is obviously a pouring, as the South Australian Health Commission notes. Based on these results, the amount lost might be in the order of 1 gigalitre. Despite supposed remedial action, there appears to be 2 ongoing leaks in the tailings storage facility, one of them actually increasing. The finely milled uranium, thorium and radium are all well soluble in the acidic tailings environment. These contaminants will be leached out of the tailings and enter the groundwater and eventually the surface water via springs and seepage. Due to the currently dry climate, the groundwater might not have enough pressure to move around and form springs. However, the very long time spans involved will certainly bring a variety of climatic conditions, e.g. the greenhouse effect, which can be expected to change this dramatically. This climatic change might already be on its way. Recently, nearby Lake Torrens was filled up by local rain for the first time in white Australian history. The Ranger mine pits are being used for tailing storage. The rim of one of the mine pits is just 3 metres above the highest flood level. The rim of the other mine pit is actually some 6 metres below the highest flood level. Several aquifers, or underground water bodies, cross the mine pit with the very finely milled tailings. Some of the most critical isotopes are water-soluble, especially in the acidic environment of the tailings liquor. The tailings in the mine pit will be alternatively soaked with water and dehydrated, according to the varying climatic conditions over the very long time spans. The tailings material, being like a mix of fine sand and powder, is bound to develop instabilities, such as huge cavities, due to groundwater erosion, uneven settlement, varying levels of moisture, etc. The contaminated groundwater will not just stay underground and wait for somebody to pump it above ground. Groundwater enters surface water via springs and seepage to a similar extent as it is being replenished by rain. Magella Creek is in close proximity, less than 300 metres from the mine site. At an initial stage, the contamination of the surrounding environment will mainly happen via underground seepage into Magella Creek. Once the capping of the deposit is rendered useless, possibly within a few years, the surface erosion of the tailing material becomes the main problem. Not surprisingly, ERA has not provided any details on how to deal with those obvious issues. Despite many public concerns about the lack of consideration of the long-term aspects of the tailing storage and even a government request, the final Jabiluka EIS has not addressed the issues nor named the time spans for concern. You can only conclude that there are no solutions. But let's forget about that and the lives and deaths of future generations, because there is a lot of money to be made today. And a feather in the cap of the federal government for good economic management. If the public can be convinced that nuclear energy is a better environmental option than fossil fuels, we may yet see our worst nightmares come true. Contemplating a cat with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you